Well, praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. What a great day. I'm talking about how much we need Christmas. We do need Christmas. So I'll just kind of rehash real quick for Hunter's sake so that we get through this and we have a great day and a great day in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We need God to save us. We need God to save us because we can't save ourselves. And that, yes, there's a hearty amen to that. To save us, he had to become one of us. We talked about that. Primarily, mostly, entirely, because God is God. God cannot lie. God cannot cheat. God cannot not be God. God cannot not be just. And in order to account for sin, which you need to raise your hand, all of the above, God needed to step in because we are incapable, still are incapable of dealing with our own sin. So God needed to step in and become one of us to deal with our sin. So he came in the form of man as Jesus. He came to save us. Hallelujah and amen. We need good news of great joy. Yes, yes, yes. We need good news of great joy. Come on. All right. We need good news of great joy. Amen. Yes. Yes. We need to be like children. That's just my little, that's B to good news of great joy. We need to be like children. We went looking at Christmas lights this week. I can't remember what day, one day this week, and we had all the boys with us, and we were doing our usual thing where we usually go to look at Christmas lights over there in Rockland, and it was a great time. We walked around, and we walked up to all the different places that had, all the houses that had their houses lit up with all kinds of different arrays of lighting things, from Disney to weird stuff to really neat stuff, and then we walk up to this one driveway, and it has this full-blown manger scene, which was super cool. It was really neat. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And Trevor was walking with Jordan, and everywhere we went, you know, Jordan was taking a picture, so Trevor was taking a picture with Jordan, and they all wanted to take pictures. So Jordan stands in front of this manger scene, and they take a picture, and she just started singing. It was the most beautiful thing. I got to tell you, I was moved by the Holy Spirit as she, because she stands in front of this manger scene and just busts out in a song all by herself. Nobody's singing along with her. She starts singing "Away in a Manger," and it's so cute. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to melt. This is awesome. I got the best grandkid in the world. Like, wow, she's awesome. I know we can have arguments about that, but that's, you know, we'll all win because you all have the best grandkids in the world. I know it. And then as she's singing "Away in a Manger," Trevor decides, he's like, oh, it's picture time. So he stands in front of the picture, the "Away in the Manger" scene, and the manger scene, and Jordan looks at him. She goes, "Trevor, you're blocking the Lord Jesus." I was like, gosh, you just nailed it, girl. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And Jared's like, oh, I didn't realize it. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. Don't ever block the Lord Jesus. Side note. Ever. That's a good point. We could leave on that one, right? Don't ever block the Lord Jesus. We need good news of great joy. Hey,
Jordan. Can you do something for me? She did something really cool. I loved it when the kids were doing this. Can you quote Psalm 100?
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know he that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. With his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100.
Good job. That was good, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to talk this morning, and I have some notes, and this is a good morning to talk about this. You know, we talk about Christmas. We get swept up into Christmas, right? Kind of about like the end of September. It seems like it starts coming, and they're like, oh boy. You know, even the song that says it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, I'm thinking, yeah, that was about Halloween. It started to look like Christmas, which is awesome. We love Christmas. I want to encourage us not to be no Scrooges allowed during Christmas time. I'm going to even say no Scrooges allowed at all. No Scrooges allowed as Christians. You're not allowed to be a Scrooge as a Christian. You just can't do it. In fact, it's kind of an oxymoron. So I wanted to talk about how we need to be like Jesus. We need Christmas. We need to be like Jesus. Jesus was a giver. All that he ever did was give. He came to give. So let's talk about what it means to give like Jesus, especially during Christmas time. Acts 20:35 says it this way. It says, Paul is speaking, and he says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. This is Paul. You should remember the words of our Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So let's talk about that. Jesus knew, still knows what's best for us. I just heard something really cool that was just said. I mean, like literally seconds ago. Jesus knew and still knows what's best for us. Amen by myself. Brother, that was a good word. Yeah, I like that. It shouldn't surprise us. Listen, it shouldn't surprise us that even science backs up what Jesus knew and still knows about us. One study, listen to this, on charitable giving, in which researchers performed, you're going to like this. Where's James at? James isn't here this morning. That's all right. Researchers performed functioning MRI scans on donors' brains, people who donated, people who gave. These scans are used to detect neurological activity in the brain. That's an MRI, right? You guys know that, right? Hello? Amen. After people donated, here's what they found. The part of their brain lit up. It actually was activated and became active. And it's, I don't know, I'll see if I can pronounce it. It's the mesolimbic system of the brain. It's the part of the brain that actually, listen to this, that controls the feelings of reward and blessing. Hello? That's pretty cool. They actually scientifically have proven that as you give, your brain is activated. And if something happens inside your brain that you're actually receiving a reward. One is that you have greater self-esteem and more satisfaction in life. Givers are more satisfied with life than takers. Lower risk of depression. As you give, as that brain activity is activated, and there's something that gives you a purpose in life, it's called reward and blessing, that is activated, you actually can get yourself out of a rut, out of the groove, if you will, out of the pit of despair, and start thinking of others as opposed to yourself. Have you ever noticed this about yourself? Whenever I'm feeling icky, down, and depressed, it's really because I'm just really stopping. I'm thinking about myself and only myself. Hello? I mean, I'm not. This isn't like groundbreaking material. This is like common sense stuff, right? You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's also proven that givers are in better physical health. This is a kind of an interesting study. There's a study that was done just recently, randomly divided 100 high school students into a group of givers or volunteers and non-givers or non-volunteers. And at the beginning of the study, the volunteers and the givers had equal body, they all had equal body mass index, BMI. You guys know what that is, right? Body mass index. And afterward, after this study, those who had been assigned to giving and volunteering once a week for 2 months, that's helping out with other programs, such as helping other younger children or being a part of an organization that was doing good in the community, they all ended up with a lower cholesterol and had a lower average of BMI. In other words, they were in better physical condition as opposed to those who did nothing but only thought about themselves. Their cholesterol levels raised and their BMI raised also. They became physically out of shape. Givers and volunteers are in better condition. That's a new diet for the new year. Let's go on it together. Hello? I like it. Let's just all be givers and volunteers and eat whatever we want. Wait, maybe that's not a good idea. Yeah. That won't work out too well. Also, the research on middle-aged older adults has had similar findings. Middle-aged volunteers appear to have less belly fat. I know. Sorry for... I'm reading the reports. The older adults who volunteer are less likely to have high blood pressure. This means, in turn, that they have lower risk of heart disease and a stroke. This also has been proven by science that you have a longer life if you're a giver or a volunteer. In other words, you do something outside of yourselves. You give into. You are a giver. I love this because I'm thinking Christmas is about what? It's giving. I know we get, oh, it's a commercialism of it. Blah, 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 blah. Come on, quit being a Scrooge. Don't be a humbug. Don't do it. Look at it as an opportunity to give more. Come on, I know it costs money, but I love it. It's like I feel like I work all year long really hard just for the opportunity to give a lot during Christmas. It's fun to me, and I think it ought to be fun to us as Christians. But it's proven, too, that you have a longer life. They did a study. It says even if you already have heart disease, giving your time may have protective benefits. There was a finding in a recent study which adults with heart disease who had spent up to 200 hours helping others in the previous year were less likely to have a heart attack or die within the following 2 years. It's true. It's proven. You can live longer if you're a giver. But I believe there's even a better reason to give. It's to be like Jesus. The best reason is to be like Jesus. I used to think that the reason that we gave gifts at Christmas time was because of the wise men who brought all the gifts and laid them at Jesus' feet or as at the manger. And so that was like, oh, we're following in that example of giving gifts. It's like, but no, I've come to realize it's the opportunity to be like Christ, to be a giver. Jesus gave his very life. And when we give, I believe when we give in any form, in the purest sense, we are being like Christ. I would go as far as saying the followers of Jesus are never greedy. Always looking for an opportunity to give. Followers of Christ are always looking for an opportunity to be a giver. Huh. Luke chapter 12, let me read a passage of scripture that I believe backs this up. Or maybe I should say, is where I got the idea, is from Scripture. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV version because it uses one word that no other translations use. And I'll use the other word that the other translations use so that you can get an idea of what it's saying. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, this is after Jesus is he's loving on people, he's teaching people, and somebody comes to him amongst the crowd and says, "Teacher, rabbi, leader, hey, you who has the ability to tell people what to do, tell my brother to divide the inheritance right now with me." What was he really asking Jesus to do? A little background is that the inheritance in those days, because it was the days before Social Security were into effect, there was a time where people lived and depended on what was called the inheritance. To basically, it was passed down. And the inheritance really consisted of usually real estate, property. More or less, it was that which is a family business. And as the father would pass, as the father would die, the inheritance was divided. Actually, it was given to, typically, it was given to the eldest brother, the eldest son. That eldest son was then to divide it, and the eldest son was to get a double portion and divide the rest of the portions amongst the other sons. But here's what this brother was asking. So there's this obvious thing that's happening here. This was one of the younger brothers. And he was saying, "Teacher, tell my older brother to divide the inheritance equally amongst us and divide it right now." But you see, here's something that also would happen. Is that if the eldest brother then was acting as father of the home, basically now of all the property manager, he's a property manager of all of this, he also had to use wisdom. If there was one of the younger brothers that was basically living a life of an unwise life and making unwise choices, he can withhold that inheritance from that youngest brother until he was mature enough to basically handle it correctly. And he had that say in the family. You guys tracking? So this guy was saying, give it to me now. I want my money and I want it now. Tell my brother to give it to me. And Jesus steps in and he says this. He says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them this phrase. And I think this phrase is what we need to hear today. We need to hear it loud and clear. As followers of Jesus at Christmas time, watch out, be on your guard. Now, Jesus, that's a double whammy, if you will. Watch out, be on your guard. He's saying, listen to this, be careful. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The other translations all use the word covetousness. The reason I take a liking to this translation of using the word all kinds of greed is because that speaks to me personally. It speaks to me every area of my life. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For life does not consist in an abundance of your possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my little barns and build bigger ones. And I will store up my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'Self, look at me. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, for this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." I think Jesus is saying, be a giver. I think he's saying it as loud and as straight to the point as possible. Don't be a stingy, greedy taker. Be a giver. In fact, when he says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, are there different kinds of greed? Obviously, because Jesus said all kinds. And even in, he says all kinds of, all sorts of covetousness. What are the kinds of greed that we mostly are akin to, that we're familiar with? Money. You want money? Yeah. Huh? Things. Yeah, we want more things. Cars. I didn't look that way. Cars. Maybe we want more cars. I know. It's good. Good man. Okay, somebody said something that speaks is clear, that speaks right to my very issue of my life. Time. And I'm going to share a little bit about me. Is that okay, guys? I was raised in a home that didn't have much. In fact, had very little. In fact, had hardly nothing most of the time. So when, I need to share this with the, I'm going to share as much as I can about what goes on in my heart, is what I believe though that God has done in my heart. I believe that God has done spiritual, mental surgery in my heart. I don't know, can you do mental surgery in your heart? I think so. Because he's done it. And he's made it to where stuff is not all that important to me. Even though there's this value system that I'm still trying to learn how to value stuff, but yet not make stuff important. And even Robin, my wife, she's like, okay, this is a disaster, and you're like, you don't care about this. I'm like, yeah, but I'm really learning, trying to learn how to care about stuff, but at the same time, not make stuff everything. Are you guys tracking with me a little bit? So what's happening in my life, and this happens, I love, and I need to share this in the most honest and humble way, how you can be that way. I love to work hard to make money to give it away. Almost everything that I do, when I make any extra money, when I make anything, I love to just give it away. Whether it's for my kids for college, whether it's for stuff for people that I love to give random people. I try to listen to the Lord as far as giving away whatever I can give away. But you need to have something to give away to give it away. So what God has given me is an ability to work hard to make extra money to be able to give it away. I love to do that. It's something that I got to tell you, it's a joy of mine that I don't want anybody to mess with. Does that make sense to you at all? In other words, that's a God thing in me. God's done that in me. And I believe it's a God thing that he's done in me. So that form of greed does not necessarily exist in my life. But there is one that I must watch out and be on my guard of all the time. And it's my greed for time. I am greedy with my time. And I'm confessing that as an issue of my life. I need to watch out and be on my guard about that. And when I really break that down, I stop and when I say that phrase out loud, I think how appalling that must be to God, who is the one who gives me every single breath to live in this very world. Every moment is really his, and I am claiming it as mine, and it's only mine, and I'm the one that is in control of it. Are you guys hearing me? So it's something that I struggle with and I deal with on a regular basis, and I'm trying to be honest about it and trying to be upfront even with God about it and say, God, help me to deal with this. Help me to be on guard and watch out against this kind of a greed. It's a greed about my time. Does anybody else relate to this? I don't know if you do or don't, but there's something in your life, I guarantee it, there's something in your life that you must watch out, because Jesus said it. Jesus said it to us, for all of us. Watch out, be on your guard against all forms of greed. And it could be anything. And I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit to identify it so that you can grow in it. So that you can grow in grace and grow in peace and grow as a follower of Jesus and be like Jesus and be a giver. So that compels me to do this one thing is to give of my time more than anything. Because it's the one thing that I struggle with the most. Hello? Is it, I get a little gritty? Everybody got a little quiet there. I'm always seeking the Lord's direction. Direction from the chief shepherd in regards to shepherding us as his own sheep. Every now and then, I think I could share this. Are you guys okay with me sharing something about you guys? I shared about me, now it's your turn. Every now and then, the Lord will identify a greed in somebody to me. And so I seek the Lord, and it's like, what do I do? How do I deal with this as a shepherd? How do I, Father God, by the Holy Spirit, grow them? See, and not that I do it, but how do you use me to grow them in the Lord in this area of life? And some people, God won't let me do anything. Says that's their mind to deal with. Like, good. That's really what I say. And then sometimes he says, you need to do this. And you need to compel him. You need to give him that opportunity. Encourage him this way. And it saddens me sometimes how sometimes the response comes about. I was compelled to encourage somebody to be a giver in a way that was going to grow them. And as I compelled this person to be a giver in a way that was going to grow them, because it was giving into others' lives, people's lives, their response to us, and it was to us, Glenn and I, really. I don't know how Glenn got blamed for it. Sorry. It was, how dare you ask me to give extra? See you later. And it just broke my heart, because this was a person that was God, I felt God putting his finger on to grow him, to grow this person. And they jumped away. Like Glenn's illustration is tiddlywinks. Sometimes God puts his finger on us to grow. And I've come to this conclusion about all of us. We all struggle with giving. We all struggle with it. At some level, there's some place that either keeps us or draws us to God or drives us away. I don't know how many people stay away from church because they say all they ever do is ask for my money there. And I always wonder, and I'm thinking, if that's the one thing that's going to keep you from God, that's really a sad state of an affair for a person's soul. Because it really does become an issue of greed. I'm not going to let God have my money. I'm not going to let God have my time. This phrase, I think, is interesting that I jotted down because I thought it was interesting. Greedy Christians fall in the same category as a Jewish Christmas. It's oxymoronic. That doesn't fit. We need Christmas. We need Christmas. We need to have the opportunity to be like Jesus and be givers. Be givers. What a great reason to give with a joyful heart and be like Jesus, who gave up his place in heaven. He gave up his place in heaven and then even gave up his life and gained us. So let's just think about that. Jesus, who gave up so that we can have life and be with him in eternity, is simply asking us to in turn give up this, and what do we gain? We gain him. I mean, I know that, I don't know about you, but if I was in the exchange, the stock market, I would say Jesus is kind of making a bad deal, and we're getting a really good deal out of this deal. We get heaven for eternity and God with us, and he gets us. I know, you got to stop and shake your head and say, wow, God, what were you thinking? But thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hello? Thank you, Jesus, that you gave. When we give, we exchange this world and the stuff of it for eternity. Start small, but don't stop. Go as big as you can possibly go. I'm continuously amazed at any amount that I give. God seems to almost, I'm not doing this for the reason of, but God seems to almost double. And it's like he's saying, just give and watch what I'll do. In fact, I'll even give you more to give, but you got to keep giving because I want to give you more. I want to use you to give and to be an example and show people what I'm like. I love Christmas. I love just everything about it. Yes, I love that it's Jesus who came as a baby. God stepped in to save us. But you know what I also love about it? I've always loved this. Love to do this, and even was able to do this with the boys this recently. I need to say this correctly. I love to show my kids what God is like. And I've always done this. Now that a lot of them are older, there's only one that I can do this with now. Let's go shopping. And I want to give you as much money as you can use to get something. I want to give you the money to be able to get something for somebody else. Mom, especially. So let's go shopping for mom. And let's whatever it is you want to get her, we're going to get it. But it's going to be in your name that you get to give it. And I always thought that wasn't my idea, because I don't know where that's like, wow, that's like, really? But God gave that for me to teach, to show my kids what God is like. God loves to pour into you so that you can give to others. And when you hoard it, what are you doing? What are we doing? When we're taking it and saying, well, this is mine. It's like when I get greedy with my time, as though it's like, this is my time. Like, really? Yeah, you stop and just say, man, somebody needs to slap that guy upside the head. Every now and then Robin will do it, and like, yeah.
Jordan said
we're blocking the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Those are the exact words she used. Don't block the Lord Jesus. Amen. Christmas is awesome. Be a giver. Hey, I'm going to tell you, anybody, and if you need help giving, who needs help giving? I got some Walmart gift cards. I will give to you so that you go get something for somebody. If you need help, you have a husband. You don't count. Yeah. All right, Steve, I got you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Oh, you got a mom. You don't count. Okay, we got you. We got you. I got you. Got you. All right, you guys. I want to make sure that you get something so that you can give to somebody. And be a giver. Be a big giver. And have fun doing it. have fun doing it. Take joy in your heart about it, because I'm telling you, you look like Jesus when you do it. And at the end of the day, at the end of your life, that's what really matters. That's what really matters. According to Jesus, life does not consist of the abundance of the stuff that you gained, but in what you were able to give away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you that it's Christmas. Thank you that you have come. You have come. I love the phrase in that song, the Lord is come. Yes. In other words, you're still here. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here. You are alive. And you are alive in us. And you live through us. You live through us as we look for places and opportunities and look for ways to give. And in Jesus' name, bless us so that we could bless others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Yes.